Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome, baseball family. This week, we are going to talk about a legitimate lockout update, retirements that are in the news, and crossover athletes right now.
Nine Plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome back, baseball family, to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast. I am Brig, back in the saddle, and as always, I got your man Brad here. I think he's on this side. Yes, he is. Hey, Brad.
Yes, I am. Good job, Brig. Very well done. Good job. Thank you.
Appreciate Proud that.
That's a tough trick to do.
You just don't know.
You don't know which way it's going to go when you point. It's difficult. Trust me, I've messed it up a number of times.
As have I. Baseball family, we're excited to bring you some news. We got a bunch of news this week. First and foremost, we have got to talk about the lockout, right? The negotiations are ongoing, and right now things continue to look perilous and a little bit sad. Even though it's a legitimate update we have for you, we are not terribly excited about it. The MLB and the Players Association met a couple of days ago, and basically it didn't go well. Lots of proposals back and forth, lots of discussion of service time, lots of discussion of pay, and basically nobody wants to agree to the other group's terms. Right, Brad? Doesn't that summarize it? That sums it up
right there. Let's move on. It's exactly how it goes, and that's exactly how it's been. We knew that's what it was going to be like, and that's why we were, at least I was, a little stressed out when nothing was going on in December, because these two sides don't like each other. They don't want to – they really don't want to meet in the middle. Like, it's going to be tough seeing which side budges first, because that's what it's going to take. Somebody's going to have to give up a little bit more, but neither side wants to. But what went on with this meeting last week was the owners came to the table finally, and they said, this is what we have. And they understand the player's complaint with service time manipulation. Even if the owners and the teams don't want to admit that it's going on, I'm sure that they're willing to admit that it sure looks like it's going on.
Right. Right. And they admit that it's a bad look, even though they don't want to admit to having participated.
Exactly. So what they did was they brought this proposition to the table that teams would be rewarded for bringing guys up. So if you have a top 150 prospect who you bring up and he spends the entire team with this entire season with the team, and he ends up finishing top five in rookie of the year, Cy Young, MVP, any of those, the team is given a draft pick. Now, my first thought was, that's a pretty good little carrot. Right,
for
a
team,
because these teams love their draft picks, because that means that's a cheap player, right?
Yep.
But the problem that I have with it is that last season, the Mariners called up their number one prospect at the time, Jared Kelnick, and he struggled big time the first month and a half he was up. Like, I always go back to it as like an 0-for-38 stretch. Like, it was brutal, it was ugly, it was painful to watch. Now, if the Mariners had been incentivized to keep him up rather than send him down, give him a chance to get his mind right and kind of regroup, we could have seen 0-for-50, 0-for-60, 0-for-70, because things weren't going to turn around anytime soon.
Yeah.
Right? So him going down was actually beneficial for him, and he played a huge role in the success the Mariners had in September.
That's right.
Everything seemed to click for him down here in Phoenix. He drove in the winning run in an extra inning game against the Diamondbacks. And from then on out, he had a very good month, finished the season very strong. And I'm convinced that wouldn't have happened if he hadn't gone back down to AAA. Teams being incentivized to keep guys up and not send them down, or not like delay their promotion because of a draft pick, like, I don't know that would necessarily bode well for everybody. Another Mariner is Mike Zunino. Probably could have spent one more year in the minor leagues and would have been an all-star. He's an all-star this last year, but he's a 4A all-star is what he is.
Yeah,
he's not a big league all-star. Right. But he could have been a big league all-star if he'd had more time to develop.
Here's my thing. They want these top 100 players to be on the opening day roster. Well, mm-hmm. if you're going to do that, you have to give us another roster slot, because we can't sit there and baby somebody or, mm-hmm. you know, develop somebody. Let's call it what it is. We can't sit there and develop somebody effectively while we're trying to win ball games and right. every day counts. So mm-hmm. if you're going to want us to keep the guy on the roster, that's okay, but give us another roster slot so we can do that. Call it the development roster slot or something like that, so that we know that person's going to get some looks at the big league level. They're in the clubhouse. They're being mentored. This is perfect solution for that 4A player who's mm-hmm. almost there, is really, really close, and has the chance with the right culture, the right climate, the right atmosphere, coaching, etc. If they can give them one more roster slot, I think that would be a more agreeable. But that's not what happened. Well,
and we saw that 26th roster spot come into play. Was it 2020 with the COVID season?
COVID season, yeah.
Yeah, like, and they were going to do that anyway. But what they had to do, though, was that the players had to give up 12 roster spots in September, that they expanded right. only to 28 rather than to 40, because owners are like, I don't want to be paying 10 extra guys to be in the clubhouse who aren't big league players. It's like,
right.
Well, okay, but yeah, no, I think you're right, though. I think if they expanded the roster to 28 period, you would have more guys who have a chance to come up and develop at the big league level in a big league clubhouse who are beyond playing minor league baseball, but maybe aren't quite ready yeah. for the big leagues, because you see it a lot in other sports, especially mm-hmm. in the NFL. You see teams draft quarterbacks and they'll sit them for a year, two, three. Aaron Rodgers is a Exhibit A of that. He sat behind yeah. Brett Favre for several years before the Packers ever gave him a chance. And yeah. I've seen it in the NBA with the Blazers. They drafted Anthony Simons. The kid came out at 17, wasn't NBA ready, but they're mm-hmm. like, he's going to be. Give him a year, maybe two, and he's actually shaping to be a really good player for the Blazers right now.
That's great. That's great.
And you can see that. You could see that happen more and more in Major League Baseball, rather than guys being forced to come in and be like, well, we only have three guys on the bench, and you're one of them, so we need you to play. Even though they're not ready to play. They just need to be in the environment.
That's right. And the problem is, it's a pay issue again. Like, here it's we go back time. Again.
Yeah.
Because now, you know, the league minimum for a guy in the active roster is way more expensive than it is at AAA. So yes. you have to take that into consideration, and that's probably why we haven't seen this come to the table. And it's a terrible shame, because that's what's the best thing for the players. It's probably the best thing to solve some competitive issues in the clubhouse and on the team. And it creates more slots, more jobs, more opportunities, etc. I just, if everything didn't come back down to money, this would be easier for everybody.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. Well, and you know, the other thing too, is that creating some competition in the clubhouse isn't necessarily a bad thing. I don't feel like,
no.
like, the problem that Major League Baseball has is that a guy can be up at the big league level for an entire season plus, and then have a bad stretch, and then they're like, we got to option you down to AAA to get your mind right. But really, like, for some guys, it's like, okay, that's a great – like, some guys are like, yeah, I need it. I could use some reps with a little bit easier pitching, work on my mechanics, whatever. But for some guys, it's like, I've lost it. I'm never going to get back.
Yeah.
With that mindset, they never will. And so it ruins some guys. And that's one problem that baseball does have, despite like my love for the minor league system and the product that it produces at the top level, is that not only are you getting guys who are like the best of the best talent wise, but you're getting guys who are the best of the best, like, mentally. And that's hard to do. Not everybody can do that.
I agree.
So
we still don't have any progress towards spring training starting on time. Brad, do you think we're going to start on time with spring training, or at this point, is it really just not going to happen?
I'm pretty pessimistic about it. I noticed that some teams, like, I know the Diamondbacks, their spring training tickets went on sale over the weekend.
Yep.
And I was like, why would I drop a dollar on that?
Yeah, not even a single dollar.
Yeah, it's not guaranteed. There's no way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not optimistic about spring training starting on time at this point, just because these two sides are still so far apart and unwilling to budge at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good. Doesn't look good for the long term at all.
I totally agree. We have some retirees going on right now. John Lester has announced his retirement as well. He's been with five teams over 16 years, three World Series appearances, and is a champion.
Championships.
Three Not times.
Appearances.
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm terribly sorry. Three World Series championships with the Red Sox and the Cubs, five times All-Star. your question, Brad, is I think on point. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Now,
I know we won't know for years, but.
Right. We got 5 years. Now, there was somebody in the VIP group on Facebook who outright said, before anybody brings it up, he's not a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. And to that I say, sir, yes, he is.
Ooh.
I would put John Lester in the Hall of Fame. Now, not only was he a three-time World Series champion, he played significant roles on all three of those teams, especially as the Cubs coming in as a vet, somebody who had won it before on a team where
absolutely
very few people had. That was significant to me. But really, I mean, I feel like he put together a strong career.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a career 3.66 ERA. I don't put a whole lot of stock in wins. But he averaged 15 wins a year with the win-loss percentage of 6.31. I don't know. I feel like he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
I don't know how I feel yet. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. I think part of me is worried that the Hall of Fame is getting presumptive a little bit. Like, well, here's another guy. We got to, you know, he retired and we all love him right now.
Got to find a way to get him in.
Yeah. And I just, that really bothers me. But he does tell part of the story of baseball in his current era, right? So we, you know, mm-hmm. to your point about the Hall of Fame being a museum, I think that justifies his admittance at some level. Now is, but if we look at the Hall of Fame as the greatest of all time and, you know, this shrine to the best of the best of the best, then I don't know. So I have to kick that around some more before I definitively say, and I'm not just being politically correct. I really just am conflicted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I understand it. So if you look at Baseball Reference has some Hall of Fame statistics that they use to,
yeah.
to kind of compare guys with other Hall of Famers, and his career WAR was 44.2. The average career WAR for a pitcher is 73 in the Hall of Fame. Right. He had a 7-year peak with a WAR of 34.6. Average for a pit for a Hall of Fame pitcher with a 7-year peak is 49.8. So he's a little low. His WAR per 162 is 3.3 compared to 4.5. Mm-hmm. He's definitely not a guy who you're going to be like, yeah, absolutely. You know, like he's a unanimous Hall of Famer, but I could see him getting 76% of the votes because, like I said, the significant role that he did play on those teams and the guy who he was that those teams needed those years to win the World Series. I think that's one of the things that puts him over the top and gets him in.
I mean,
and he was a nice guy, right? It's not like he was popping up taking fights in the dugout. And
that's exactly what I was just going like to say.
Kurt Schilling. You know, so everybody likes him.
Yeah. Yes, I totally agree. I just think that that's part of the problem we're running into is that everybody likes him. And so maybe, you know, he comes in the culture club. Maybe the culture club is what lets him in, you know? And that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense. As far as like sheer performance, I just don't know yet.
Yeah.
Good thing I'm they do
compare him to Roy Halladay, who is in.
Yeah.
Justin Verlander.
Expected.
Zach Greinke, who, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Interesting.
He's up there. He's dead. Yeah. Like I said, it'll probably be close and it might not be the first year, but I think he gets in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to another one. Francisco Liriano has announced his retirement as well. Six teams over 14 years. He last played in 2019. 69 games he pitched with the Pirates. He was part of the Astros 2017 World Series run. Let's call it a run. And he was an all-star in 2006. he's not getting into the Hall of Fame. I don't know why.
No, he might get into the Hall of Solid. But
right.
But not the Hall exactly. of Fame, that's for sure. But no, I mean, he was
a solid career, though.
It was a solid career, and I feel like he's one of those guys who I recognized the name as soon as I saw that he was retiring. He wasn't somebody who I was like, Francisco, who? It's fun to say, but I can't.
Francisco.
But no, he put together a solid career, nothing to snub your nose at. I think he should be proud of the career that he put together. I think he did a great job.
I agree. Now let's go to my favorite announcement of this. We're talking Melky Cabrera has announced his retirement. 15-year career, seven teams, last played in 2019, 133 games with the Pirates as well. Part of the 2009 World Series Yankees team, one-time All-Star 2012.
Yeah, another Hall of Solid guy, I feel like.
Exactly. He's not going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. But no, and another, like I said, solid career.
Yep. Absolutely, yeah. Solid.
Something to be proud of, and good for those guys. I don't know that it's necessarily going out on their own terms, because they both last played in 2019. They probably sat out 2020 and then just didn't really hop on with anybody in 2021. And that may have been they may have been debating whether they wanted to play or not, you know, waiting for the right situation to pop up. But
yeah, and it didn't, obviously.
Yeah, I wonder I wonder if losing with the Pirates though played a significant role in them being like, I can't do it anymore.
It's right.
Not fun. Not fun.
Why are the Pirates so bad, Brad? Why are they perennially terrible?
Because they develop players and then they sell them off. The Mariners did it for a long time. It's not the way to win, because they're like, we gotta get prospects. And then they just trade away their prospects are ready to go. They don't hold on to them because they're trying to flip guys to get four, but maybe two return, and they trade them trying to get four more for each.
Yeah. It's not Monopoly.
It's a never ending cycle that doesn't ever pay off.
Here's the thing though. If the Pirates were able to be good. Okay. Same with, there's a handful of other teams that come to mind, but if the Pirates, I think particularly, were able to be successful, even every 5 or 8 years, we could justify two expanded teams, expanding the league, two additional teams.
It's but true.
Because they can't, and they're not the only ones that cannot win.
The Orioles. Yeah.
Right. Then we cannot expand the league, and it makes me so mad.
I know. And that is the problem, is that you have teams that don't know how to run things, that it's like, well, if they're that bad, how much worse would they be and other teams be if you added two more teams? That is the problem that I have with expansion, is watering down the talent level. But
you're exactly right. Okay, so let's international signings. The Cubs signed Adon Hernandez from Panama. We're very excited about that. Do you have anything you want to say about that other than hooray?
Well, I think it's solid. Adon Hernandez kind of got some level of fame, I guess. What was it, 4 years ago in the Little League World Series?
Little League World Series.
So he hit a home run and happened to be David Ross who called the home run, which is pretty cool. I think the Cubs have had an eye on him ever since, because I think he said, keep this guy's name in mind. I do have a hard time believing that he's only 16 and was only 12 then, because the dude's huge. He was huge then. He's even bigger now. I'd like to see birth certificate. But I don't know, man. He's going to be good, though. He's going to be really good. Even if he is 20 right now, I don't care. He'll be really good for the Cubs.
Yeah. And then the Yankees signed the number one international prospect, Rodriguez, from the Dominican Republic. I'm excited about that.
You should be.
How you feel.
You should be. Well, and he said something about how everybody should want to be a Yankee.
He's right.
And I know you feel the same way from your ivory tower.
Well, it's just better up here. The air quality. Is part of why. I mean, that's only one element, but it is part of it. We'll get into the rest of why later. But the Nationals also signed outfielder Christian Vaquero from Cuba for $4.9 million. He was the number two ranked international prospect. And I got to be honest with you. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say real quick with that, because the Nats basically blew their entire international allotment on him.
Oh, did they?
They have than $300,000 to sign anybody. And so they're going to be like scraping, or they'll just, I don't know if they can roll it over, or maybe they'll use that as part of a deal with somebody else to trade for somebody, because there are a lot of teams that will trade for international slot money. Like the Mariners did it for a number of years, and that's how they ended up with Julio Rodriguez, I believe. It's kind of a big deal. They spent that much money on the number two international prospect, because that's a big deal. It's a really big deal. He better pay off for them, or it's going to be trouble.
Either in a deal, right? A trade chip option, or he better bring it, really bring it.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. I got to be honest though. What I was going to say is I just love seeing guys come out of Cuba. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. It's maybe it's the, I don't know.
There's some of the biggest underdog stories in baseball.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just fun. It's just fun for a lot of reasons. And then let's see, what else do we have? Ronald Acuna Jr., his brother, Brian, is now signed and is going to be working for the Twins organization out of Venezuela. So we're pretty excited about that as well. I know Brad was particularly excited about this one.
I think it's cool. I love when brothers have a chance to play against each other, with each other, whatever. I think it's awesome that parents are able to like develop elite athletes at that level. Not just one, but maybe two, like the Molinas.
Right.
Like Mama Molina's got to be awfully proud, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And really comfortable driving that Benz or whatever she's driving, because they had to have bought her something nice.
That's right. But, I like that.
But yeah, I think it's really cool.
Seegers are the same way.
The Seegers, yes, absolutely. And those parents are set up.
Yeah, there's a few other examples, but those are really good ones. Okay, let's move on. The Red Sox hired Katie Krall. She's a development coach in AA Portland. That's the Sea Dogs. Now there are two women inside the Red Sox organization that are coaches, not just inside the organization, let's be clear. But they're actual coaches. And this is really, really cool. She's going to be working, obviously, with Bianca Smith, who's the other member of the Red Sox organization, who happens to be a female coach. And the quote that I loved is, it's kind of sad that it's still a big deal, but we are both really excited about it, speaking of Krall and Smith. So, Brad, do you think it's kind of sad that it's still a big deal? Did you respond one way or another to that quote?
Yeah, I mean, it's still kind of a novelty, right? Because like we were talking about off the air beforehand, that there are 11 women coaching in baseball as of today. Today is Monday, the 17th of January. Yeah. And eight of them have been hired since the start of this year.
Yeah.
So it still is a pretty big deal. Like, yeah, but it will be nice when it's not necessarily because then we don't have to hear about it, but because then it's normal. I want it to be normal. Yeah. You know, and that's something that I think will be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what she means by that.
I agree. Yeah. So when it is normal, it'll be awesome. But yes, in the meantime, let's get excited about it and let's encourage.
Oh yeah.
Encourage it as
well. In baseball family, you're not going to hear the end of it with us. So
right.
We really hope that you're not off put by women in baseball, especially on the field and in coaching opportunities, because I'll tell you what, it's not going to stop. This is the beginning. The future is now. And we, Brad and I, and hopefully most of our baseball family, we just could not be more excited about it for lots and lots of reasons. So hopefully you're on board. Hopefully you're excited with us, because this is huge deal type stuff for us. Anyway, and with that.
For sure.
Let's talk about really
quick. We have two more things.
First off,
okay, I got to talk about this one first. This I thought was so cool. So I saw this
pop up. Oh, we have three things left. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. So I saw this pop up last week with my news. And Harrison Bader of the St. Louis Cardinals filled in, was a substitute teacher for a day at an elementary school teaching PE. School was short-staffed because of COVID. So he was just like, you know what? It's like, I think specifically what he said was these kids needed a little pick me up, need a little boost in morale. So he went and he signed up and showed up and was their PE teacher for a day. And I think it's really cool. I thought it was really cool that he was willing to take time out of whatever he's doing, you know, not doing much at this time, you know, doesn't have to get ready for spring training yet. But the fact that he was willing to go show up and be there for those kids when they were possibly not going to have a PE coach. I don't know.
I don't know either, but. Good for him.
Good for him. That's got to be like the best job in teaching, though, right?
Teaching PE? A substitute PE teacher. Yeah.
Just play dodgeball.
Yeah.
Coach Bader, you want to play? No, you don't want me to play.
Yeah. No. Here's how, no. Get your elbow down. Bring your elbow down. Or release it up here.
Yeah.
This is when you coaching let go
everybody,
of the ball.
Teaching everybody how to throw a dodgeball. There you go. That's the way right there. I love
that's
it.
That's the way.
Fantastic.
Okay, we've gone on a high note. We're going to go down to a low note. We're going to bring it back up to a high note. But based on our conversation last week about mental health, we thought this was important. And also, it's important because it just is. So according to the Tampa Bay Rays, bullpen catcher Gene Ramirez was found deceased in his home a couple of days ago. And we now know that it was a suicide. It was a completed suicide. So this is terribly, terribly sad. But I really love the way the family has been responding. They said according to ESPN.com, the loss of our son has been the most excruciating experience that we have lived. Unfortunately, we sometimes don't see the signs. Struggling in silence is not okay, end quote. So just to reinforce the mental health tone that we took a little bit last week, and again this week, this is further evidence that, you know, if you're struggling, please don't be silent about it. Take advantage of the opportunities you have to get help and support, because there are people there who love you. And that goes for athletes and anybody else. It doesn't matter who you are. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And my big takeaway from it is that it doesn't matter what you have. You can still be suffering from mental health, because I've maintained for a long time that a bullpen catcher is the best job in sports.
You say that all the time.
Yeah. Like, hang out in the bullpen with the guys, because they're a little nutty out there. Gets a little crazy. Catch some bullpens throughout the day and just chill.
Right.
Like, I think that's the best job. The guy can have the best job in sports and still be struggling. So no matter how, what you have, what you don't have, if you're having a hard time, get some help. I absolutely agree.
Okay. Last thing for our current events segment today. New Era is screwing it up again.
What's the deal, man?
I don't know. I literally can't understand what is going on over at New Era. It's like, okay.
Did they just hire a bunch of hipster designers? Like, is that?
Yeah. It's almost like they're on guru.com or Upwork and they like staged a contest and they're like, all right, we don't have the budget to hire designers in-house. So what we're going to do is we're going to outsource this. Anyway, it's like, take everything Nike has done positively and find a way to flip it.
Well, and even then, a lot of people think there's been a lot of negative with what Nike's done. And even like what you don't like, I don't like what they did with the D-backs, but I take that over this.
Oh,
and a lot of what New Era has done lately, which is bad because I feel like I'm a New Era apologist. But man, so these are, what is it? It's like,
first of all, they're bright red. I haven't seen anything that's not bright red.
Every single one of them are bright red. Fire engine red,
which and is fine. I like a bright red hat, but it's bold.
It is, and they are World Series matchups. The whole thing is red, though. Like, there's Marlins logo that's done in red and white.
Yeah.
Please, no. It doesn't work. And so, panel, on one of the front panels, it has the team, and then it has the X, and then the other front panel has the other team.
Along the seam, right? The center seam has the X.
Yes. And yeah, it's not good. There's a lot of positively funny... No, there's a lot of funny reaction. I don't want to say that's positive because it wasn't a positive reaction. No, a lot of good reaction. Like Talking Yanks, another baseball podcast, they said, at FBI, you see this?
Baseball Brit said, just when you thought the MLB lockout couldn't get any worse.
My favorite, though, I got to scroll down. Emily Nyman says, hats that are exclusively for parents of sons who play on different MLB teams. It's a niche market, but somebody's got to cater to it. She nailed it. I don't know what they're thinking with these. Like we said, the last few have been pretty bad launches, and this might be the best one. The Rear Admiral did some photoshopping and replaced the team logos with the Players Union and MLB, because that's really what it comes down to these days. And that's what these hats should be. Is
that's right.
The summation of 2021 so far in baseball is the players versus the league.
That's right. So just to round it out, the World Series logo is on the right patch, right here on the right hand side of the patch, mm-hmm. which they've done their patch.
Well, and I mean, level with me here, Brig. As a fan of the Yankees, would you want a hat commemorating the 01 World Series?
No.
Or what was that? 03, I think.
No, I don't care what it is. I don't commemorate it with the Yankees logo. Why you got to tarnish it with somebody else's? They probably lost anyway.
Well, the Marlins are undefeated in the World Series. Let's be clear. So,
yes, they are.
Yeah, like as a Yankee fan, I don't know why you would want to buy a World Series hat that has both team logos on it that doesn't say World Series champs.
Like, right. I don't see any representation of who won.
Yeah, you just got to know. And I guess there's some things, if you know, you know, and it's fun that way. But I don't know. These are bad. They look bad. I would never, ever, especially as a Braves fan, for the one for what was that, 96? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I don't know. Anyway, I wouldn't buy a hat if I'm a Braves fan that has a Yankees logo on it.
Nope. Wouldn't do it. Don't care. Thank you very much.
Well, I will say this.
A quick break.
Of the three. I was looking at this. Of the three, the one that I might buy is one that has the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Yankees on it.
With the big, fat, old school Yankees logo.
Yeah.
I agree.
Maybe.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
And now we will take a break. And when we come back, we are going to discuss crossover athletes. Where have they gone? Why we may or may not ever see them again. And who we think are going to be the best crossover athletes if they were to do that right now.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back with me. Root, root, root for the home. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Shop kids' baseball shirts at 9plusS.com.
Hey, Brad, can I admit something kind of ridiculous?
Yeah, man.
I have a Neil Diamond song stuck in my head.
I did not see that coming.
Well, me neither.
Have you been to a Drive game recently? Tell me it's Sweet Caroline.
Yeah, it's not. It's Song Sung Blue.
I have to admit I've never even heard of that song.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Dude, you gotta get out more. I think you need a vacation.
You're probably right.
Did you know that you can get great deals on airfare, hotels, and rental cars by using Booking.com? They have killer prices all in one place. I booked with them when I came out to South Carolina to visit you.
Cool.
The best part is, every time you use our link, not only do you get great deals on travel arrangements, but you also support the Baseball Together podcast.
Maybe I do need to get out more.
We all know you need to. Even our listeners know, bud.
Well, where should I go?
I don't know. I hear Phoenix is nice this time of year. Click on the link in the description to get out of the house and support the Baseball Together podcast all at once.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The Non Their Sports Podcast is the home of sports talk for everyone. Every other week, you can catch David and Jason as they talk about all things sports, from current events to classic moments and everything in between. You can find the Non Their Sports Podcast on anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and more. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.
Welcome back, baseball family. So we talked a little bit before about crossover athletes. Now, I have to give credit where credit is due here, right, Brig? Because this is not a topic, honestly, that we came up with on our own. Somebody pitched this to us. This was from Sarah Davis, who said, who in baseball would make a great crossover athlete into which sport? And we got thinking, like, why don't we see crossover athletes anymore? Bo Jackson was a legend. Right?
Still is.
People
if they use present tense with legends.
You're right. And Bo knows, you know. But yeah, but Bo people knows. Are still comparing anybody, any freak athlete we see to Bo Jackson. Deion Sanders was another famous crossover. Brian Jordan played, yeah. They all played baseball and football, which seems to be the easiest crossover to make because of the way the seasons line up, right? Yeah. Like football season starts beginning of September and is done by spring training, guaranteed, mm-hmm. right? Even if you're in the Super Bowl, still
guaranteed.
And so it's easy to match that up. It's a little, it'd be considerably more difficult with basketball just because the NBA finals go into June. But then other sports, anything. Anyway, so Brig, let's start with this. Why do you think is the biggest reason we don't see crossover athletes anymore? We don't even see guys crossing over from baseball to football anymore.
Money.
Money. Is money. The reason.
Yep. Here's why. I think teams on both sides of whatever sport you're talking about are saying absolutely not. You will not put on football pads if you are going to be on our roster. There is too much of a liability for you being injured. We are not going to take on that financial burden. We are not going to take on the burden of trying to replace you. It all comes down to money and the risk of injury.
Now, along that those veins, so just a few years ago, we saw this. Kyler Murray was the number one, was the first round pick by the Oakland A's.
Yeah,
highly touted prospect. They paid him a whole bunch of money up front as a signing bonus, and then he went back to college. He was still in college playing football at Oklahoma, and then the opportunity came for him to be drafted in the NFL. And they're like, "Well, are you going to play both?" And the A's specifically said they would let him play both if he wanted to.
Sure,
they said that he could play football and baseball if he wanted. He chose football, and I think it's because he's a quarterback.
I think
if
he
had been a receiver, or especially a defensive back, he'd have been like, yeah, I can do both. Easy. No problem. But the fact that he's a quarterback, he needs to dedicate that time to his sport.
Yep.
Specifically, so he can be effective for everybody else around him. It just takes that's really what it comes down to for me, is time.
Yeah.
It takes that much time. We've seen Russell Wilson was also drafted. He was drafted by the Rangers. He's currently still to this day part of the Yankees organization.
Yes, he is. And he still shows up for spring training and takes some reps with the organization. He still does.
Yep, he does. Now, I don't know that if the Yankees would necessarily bring him into the farm system full time, even if he retired from football tomorrow. I don't know. They might if he wanted to, but who's to say? But I don't know. It's, to me, it really comes down to time, because sports these days are so analytical and so detail oriented that if you don't have the time to go through and know every single detail, you're not going to succeed. I'm not taking anything away from Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders. Those guys are obviously gifted and freak athletes.
100%.
Like Deion Sanders is so good. I feel like both of them were so good, especially at football. They could just show up.
They could. Yeah.
You know,
and Bo Jackson though. I mean, that dude ran the ball. Like it wasn't It wasn't a low impact. I mean, not that football's low impact. Can't really say that, but it wasn't.
he wasn't a kicker.
It's not. You grab the ball and you run the ball, essentially at its core. But it's a rough and tumble position. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. And that being said, between the two of them, like I said, I feel like Deion could just show up, follow a guy around the field in man defense and be very successful because he was that good. Now the way defenses are run and offenses are run, I don't know if he would have been a Hall of Famer doing that. And baseball is so detail oriented these days too, with the way that they're breaking down pitchers and spin rates and launch angle, everything that goes into it. You can be a gifted athlete to a certain degree and succeed, but you got to get your reps in still. Because there are guys out there who are getting 50 to 100 times more reps than you if you don't have the time to do it, and they're going to beat you out for those positions.
Well, and that comes back to politics and culture and stuff like that too. That stuff you can't measure, right? Where it's like, I don't see him ever. I don't know. Coaches are going to be like, I can't trust him. I'd never see him.
I don't know what he's doing in his spare time.
Right. And what kind of influence does he have on the team, and what kind of, you know, mojo is he bringing to the clubhouse and all that stuff too? So,
because this is the thing, is that Deion Sanders to me in the NFL, and not in the NFL, but in baseball, was known as the burner, right? Yeah. I mean, the dude hit it inside the park home run on like a bloop fly ball one time, I think.
Yeah.
Billy Hamilton has that kind of speed, and he's been bouncing around the league, right? I think he's on a minor league deal right now, and so guys are not going to be as successful now as they would have been 20, 30 years ago as crossover athletes. And I feel like that's why we don't see it nearly as much anymore. Maybe there will be somebody who will surprise us. Maybe we'll have a Kyler Murray who will come up and be like, you know what, if I switch positions in the NFL, maybe I can do it. But at the same time, guys aren't willing to sacrifice it, because as a quarterback, he's making a whole lot of money the day he signed, the day he got drafted by the Cardinals, and he was going to have to wait to get that money with the A's. So I don't blame him. But
so let's just round this off really quick. Guess what Deion's 40-yard dash time was? I just looked it up.
I want to say he was like a 4.43.
A 4.27.
Yep. I wanted to say 4.2, but I didn't think it was that low.
Just to put that into perspective, Barry Sanders, 437. Randy Moss, 425. Bo Jackson, 4.13.
No way.
4.13. That is a lot of That's human so being to move that quickly. That is an enormous ball of muscle. I mean, he literally came in like a wrecking ball, right? Like,
yeah, the dude was enormous. For those of you who don't know, like, only know the name of the legend of Bo Jackson. Like, to see somebody moving that fast would be terrifying.
Terrifying. Oh,
that's terrifying. Like, I think it was Deion Sanders who said guys would make a business decision and not tackle. I think that that's where that comes from. Making a business decision, not tackling Bo Jackson. Just get out of the way.
Oh, man. Okay, hold on. Bo Jackson. Let's do prime stats. Let's just see how big was he.
Enormous, to be fair.
To be fair.
To be fair.
Okay. Yeah. He was
6'1", 220 is what there I have on Baseball Reference.
6'1", 220. 220. I have 6'1", 227 in the NFL season. He put on a little bit of water weight. He drank some more Gatorade or whatever. Yeah. That's a lot of human being. Oh, yeah.
That's a big dude running at you that fast.
Yeah.
It is. Oh, my goodness.
It is.
All right.
It's awesome. Yes, he's a legend. You should go look up Bo Jackson baseball and football highlights and just watch the magic, because it's magic. It really is magical.
What it is. Yeah, truly. Yeah. So along this vein then, as far as talking about crossover athletes, we can't pick our current top crossover athletes, like we said, because there aren't any nope. true as far as baseball goes. True.
Yep.
Along the mainstream, I guess, crossover athletes. Sure. But we wanted to pick three guys each who we thought would be potentially good crossover athletes.
Yeah.
So, Brig, why don't you go ahead with your first one?
Okay. I want to see Trey Turner sprint. I want to see Trey Turner in a 100-meter dash. And here's why. Okay. Trey Turner is retaining all of his time and effort and whatever. He's carving it up into more than just being really, really fast, right? He's hitting the ball. He's fielding the ball. He's all this other stuff. And the team dynamics and all the extra stuff. But if he was on the same training regimen as a guy like Usain Bolt, I'll bet you he gives that dude a run for his money. And here's that was a pun firmly intended. Here's why. Old boy Trey Turner has a 147 bolts. Now, a bolt, according to Baseball Savant, happens, any run above 30 feet per second is considered a bolt in baseball. Hmm. A competitive run, anything within a competitive attempt, according to Baseball Savant, is a play that's 27 feet per second or faster. And so the poor end of that is 23 feet per second. The high end of that is 27 feet per second, which is incredible. And 30 feet per second is considered elite. Okay. Trey Turner is running at 30.7 feet per second on average.
Wow.
So I did some math because I love math.
Okay.
No, I don't. And 30.
As long as you don't do it on air, I think we're good.
30 feet per second converted into miles per hour is 20.931 miles per hour. That dude literally sprints almost 21 miles an hour.
He'd get a ticket in the school zone.
Yes. Right. Okay. So Usain Bolt, his speed is 27.33 miles per hour. Okay. So, but Usain Bolt is doing nothing but run. Sprinting.
Yeah, he doesn't even run 200. Yeah,
no, and he's obviously retired now. But he wasn't hitting the ball. He wasn't feeling the ball. He's not throwing the ball. None of the other stuff. None of the clubhouse dynamics. He's not retaining any weight to put barrel on bat. or on ball and drive the ball. None of that. So I really believe that if Trey Turner were to lean out a little bit more and get himself in sprint shape, he could literally go as fast as Usain Bolt. Now, the other thing I will tell you is that Usain Bolt's world record set is only tracked, his top speed is tracked between, I think there's a range, I forget where it is, but there's a 20-yard range or 20-meter range within the 100 meters where it's clocked, and I think it's between 20 and 40 meters, meter 20 to meter 40 along the 100-meter range is when it's clocked, but I can't remember exactly what it was. So he only averages 22 or 23 miles per hour, Usain Bolt, along the entire 100-meter sprint stretch.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he kicks it into a different gear at the end and then it changes the average, right? So he has segmented the 100 meters into different speeds, at least in his world record setting distance.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's why I think I want to see Trey Turner. If anybody's going to cross over, I would love to see Trey Turner sprinting.
Interesting. That'd be good. I'd be down for that because, yeah, like I actually checked, and he is 3 inches shorter than Usain Bolt, which I think it could be significant.
Totally. But
at the same time, the fact that the dude has enough speed, has the speed that he does with where he's at currently. Yeah, he had the fastest sprint speed this season in baseball.
For sure. The only other baseball player that's even in that same league as him is
I have Jose Siri at 30.4.
Yeah, and Tim LoCastro is also at 30.7.
Yeah.
Those are the only two. That's it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Everybody
and competitively, we're looking at LoCastro is at 44 competitive runs, 257 Trey Turner. So Trey Turner's statistics are firmly set. Mm-hmm. They're stable.
Yeah.
Whereas yeah. LoCastro, obviously, he's still in the minor league system playing for the Yankees, right? So,
yeah.
Anyway, what about you, Brad? Solid.
I like
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, man.
Well, I'm going to go with one of my big hitters first. I'm going to go with Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
So, obviously,
dude's a genius,
a natural athlete in many aspects. You know, we've seen that he's a pretty good basketball player. He can play other sports as well. And that was one of my first thoughts. It's like, how would Mookie Betts do as a basketball player? Mm. First thing I did was I checked how tall he is. He is 5'9". Now,
whoa.
That being said, not all basketball players are as tall as what they're listed on the lineup card. For instance, Trey Burke, I ran into Trey Burke one time. He was listed at 6'1". I am not 6 feet tall. I am 5'10", 3/4 on a good day. I was looking eye to eye with Trey Burke. So he is definitely not 6 foot, maybe 5'11 tops, but he's listed at 6'1". I do think, however, that 5'9 is a little bit short to really succeed and thrive in the NBA. So actually what I did with Mookie Betts is I have him on the PBA as a professional bowler.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. You've seen him bowl.
He just bowled another 300 last week.
Yeah.
And I say another because he did it like a year ago too.
Exactly.
He would compete. Yeah. He would be competitive and he would do very, very well.
100,000%. 100,000%.
I think Mookie Betts could moonlight as a professional bowler and never have to spend a dollar of his baseball money ever.
Yep. I agree with you.
I think he'd be outstanding as a professional bowler. So I don't have all the advanced metrics like you did, Brig. I'm sorry. But Mookie Betts is a bowler.
That's the last you'll hear from me on advanced metrics.
All right, Brig, who's your next guy?
I'm going to go with, hold on. I got to get this. I had a thought really quick. I want to see Madison Bumgarner really sink into rodeo.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's in rodeo and he does it anyway, but I want to see him really do it. And I want that name to go away. Mason Saunders. Like, I got it. It's cool. And it's funny and all that, but let's get Mason Saunders an opportunity to come out of the closet a little bit and just be who he is, which I think at his core is a rodeo dude. He's rodeo's all-star. So I think that if he dedicated all of his time to rodeo, it could be a lot of fun. And I don't know anything about rodeo athletes and how their career span works, what peak ages are and different things like that. I have no idea. But I think that with the way his career in baseball is going, he might have a great opportunity to be a rodeo star, depending on how old you can be and be a great rodeo.
Yeah. Well, I think it depends on the event, because he was doing calf roping, right?
Uh-huh.
I feel like that's something you can do for a while.
But I would think so.
I mean, you and I were taught how to do it by a man who was in his 60s.
And right? had MS.
And had MS. And did it very 65. Well still.
He was 65 at MS and taught us how to rope.
Yeah.
We were roping chairs, but it worked.
Right. And each other. But nonetheless, yeah. He taught us how to do it. But no, I think he could do it. I think he could do it after his baseball career is over. I think I'd go watch him. If he did one of the local rodeos down here in Phoenix, I'd go. It'd be fun.
Well, the roping capital of the United States is in Wickenburg, Arizona. It's not very far from where you are anyway.
That is a
major stopover on the rodeo circuit.
And I could get a hot dog on the way home.
Adventure's first stop. That's right.
That's right. Most certainly. Yes, very good.
I love it. Okay, go ahead. What's your next one?
All right, my next one. I have Mike Trout. I always make jokes about how Mike Trout leads the league in neck girth every year because the dude's enormous. He's out there playing center field. He looks like a linebacker, and I think he would do very well as a linebacker in the NFL. I just wanted to compare his size to another linebacker who I am familiar with. So Mike Trout is 6'2", 235.
Yeah.
Bobby Wagner for the Seahawks, who, by the way, is going to be a Hall of Famer, just so everybody knows. I called that one a while ago. Anyway, he is 6'2", 242. So Wagner's a little bit thicker, but I think if Trout were to be like, you know what, I just need to bulk up a little bit more for football season, he could do it. He could do really well. Between the speed and the sheer strength and just like size of his body, I think he would be, and just freak athleticism. I mean, I'm sure he played football in high school growing up and everything, was very, very good. I think he would be an outstanding linebacker. I wouldn't want to mess with him, but I don't want to mess with most people. So, I mean, there's that. But no, I think he'd be really good for, especially like with the Eagles, his team. Like, I bet if they were like, Mike, we could really use you. Like, yeah, dude, I'll step on.
Awesome.
So I think Mike Trout would be good in the NFL.
That's cool. That's really cool.
And honestly, I don't think it would take much for him to acclimate either, because guys love his athletic ability. Like we talked about, Deion Sanders.
Yes.
Like, he might be able to just go in and just be like, you know, just follow the quarterback. He'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you.
So
that's cool.
All right. Number 3, who you got?
Well, I'm torn because I have more than 3.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And it's funny because the more I started thinking about it, the more now that we've talked about it, I'm like, this guy. Yeah. So, and all kinds of different sports. So I don't know. Should we do some honorable mentions before we get our favorite in there, or should we?
I only have one more. I made a point to just have 3. So, I mean, go ahead and give me an honorable mention, because I want to hear, I don't know if you took the guy off the list, but the one that we talked about before, I want to hear what you think.
All right. Well, I have 2 honorable mentions. 2. Okay. And we've both discussed this, but then I have one that I really, really want to talk about. Okay.
Okay. All right.
So my number 1 honorable mention is Trevor Bauer. I want to see him play chess, because I think the dude is brilliant, and I don't think he's socially capable all the time, but I think that's part of the same thing. I think you know what I'm saying?
So
I really, really, really want to see him on a sport that doesn't have any other teammates. There's nobody to make upset. There's no, but a sport that is also perfectly accepting of crazy, wild personalities, big, bold personalities, right? Mm-hmm. Lots of I don't know. I don't want to say what I want to say, but you know what? You get what I'm saying.
Well, by the way, real quick, happy birthday, Trevor Bauer, today.
Hey, happy birthday, Trevor.
Happy birthday, Trevor Bauer.
But I think the dude is brilliant, and I want to see him play chess. So that's my first honorable mention.
I think it's a good one.
Thank you. And then this is the one you were worried about or excited about or whatever. Daniel Vogelbach. Okay. I think it's easy to say, oh my gosh, I want to see him play linebacker or tight end or something like that, right? makes perfect sense. But actually, he's a little small and he's really slow. He's not going to be playing tight end, linebacker, or even
He'd probably be a defensive end. Yeah.
Yeah, he still couldn't play defensive end. He's only 6 feet tall and he's really slow. Like really slow.
Defensive tackle.
Yeah, he's way too small for that too.
Aaron Donald is 6 feet tall and he's like the best tackle in the league right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
He's an anomaly. Okay.
I'm not seeing it happen. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to see him bowl, though. I want to see Daniel Vogelbach. Because can you imagine with a 13-pound ball, that dude is flinging that. It's like a dart. Right? It'd be like it throwing darts. And he could probably get it on target. Now, if you put an adequately sized ball in his hand, it would be like Bo Jackson running
through an offensive line. He'd need like those Fred Flintstone sized finger holes, though. Sausages.
I just think that if he got the biggest regulation size ball, and with all of his, because look, he plays first base. He's incredibly coordinated. He's talented. He's got some precision. He's flexible. Mm-hmm. The dude is an athlete. Like, let's not make any qualms about that. Right. But if you got him in a bowling alley, I think it'd be really fun. And I think he would crush it, honestly.
And he would probably fit in really well, too, let's be honest.
And he would. He totally would.
Crushing beers and eating nachos with everybody.
Exactly. It's like if you thought Babe Ruth, what other sport are you going to play, babe? He's bowling. That is what he's doing.
You're right. I think that's awesome. It's perfect.
All right. So Vogelbach, there we go. All right. Now, do you have one more?
I do have one more. You want me to go?
Do yours. I've been waxing. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. My last one is one of my favorite players, a guy who I like a lot. He's very athletic. I think would do very well in another sport. I have Fernando Tatis Jr., the third. And I think he would do very, very well as a soccer player. And this has maybe a little bit to do with his upbringing, but mostly because, like, have you seen that dude's feet? He is so good on his feet.
Have you seen his feet?
All the time, Brick. What are you watching if you're not watching his feet? But no, like the way
your Reddit looks like.
No, the way, like, he slid into second and kept his foot on the bag by doing the splits. He dodged the ball coming out of his head at the plate by doing the splits. Like, the guy is limber. He is athletic. He does that little dance move going around third base, when he hits a home run. Like, I think he could do masterful things with a soccer ball and be very, very good on a soccer field, and I would love to watch it. Especially since, like, with his size, he's 6'3". He could dominate a lot of guys on a soccer pitch. Like, just physically dominate them.
Yeah.
Go up, get a header. I think he would do really well on a soccer field.
Amazing.
But that's just me.
Okay. I love it, actually. It makes a lot of sense.
Excellent.
Okay, for my final pick, I'm going to go with Aroldis Chapman. Chapman stands at 6'4", and he's at a pretty lean 218.
Yeah.
Right now. That's where he's listed. But if you look at his previous offseason, especially during the pandemic, his offseason workout routines, have you seen those pictures?
Yeah. Boxing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I want to see Aroldis Chapman in the ring. Yep. And I want to see him lean down to, I don't want him as a heavyweight, because heavyweight is 205 or better, right? 205 or bigger. I want to see him just one step down, which I think they call cruiserweight, if I'm not mistaken.
He could do pretty. He's a little crazy. It would work.
He's just crazy enough. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would work. Yeah. I think that's good. I like it.
Yeah. I want to see him box for real.
That'd be really cool. I wonder if we could get him in the ring with one of the Paul brothers.
Oh, dude.
You know?
Oh my gosh. Light heavy. I'm sorry. It's light heavyweight.
Okay. Light heavyweight. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I like it. I think it's good. He's doing the boxing training before, and I feel like it bulked him up a little bit. I don't know how he would trim down, though, to get into the light heavyweight division.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's solid, though. I do have one more. I thought of another one.
You would. Good.
I was trying to figure out who would be good for this position. This is one that I was trying to fill rather than thinking of the guy first and then matching him to a sport.
Okay.
I wanted to see who would be a good cricket pitcher. Or bowler.
There you go.
Good cricket bowler. And the one who I came up with was Aaron Judge.
because and you know, and this was my thought process. I didn't want to take an actual like regular pitcher because those guys pitch off the mound. They're stationary. So I wanted to pick a guy who could throw hard on a crow hop because that's how you bowl in cricket.
100%.
And I feel like Aaron Judge, he throws like 102 from the outfield on a crow hop. And getting that crow hop in there, he'd be unstoppable as a cricket bowler.
Oh, yeah.
And imposing with that size.
Oh, I want to say, what is the average cricket bowler size?
I don't feel like cricket players are generally very big.
I don't know. Not as big as he is. I mean, come on. They're all from...
No, certainly not as big as he is.
Okay. There are no limits on the shape or size of the bat. Actually, that's weird. Okay, never mind. That's not what I wanted.
Anyway, no, I feel like he would be an imposing force as a cricket bowler. That's my honorable mention.
Agreed, sir. Well done. I absolutely love it. Baseball family, we want to hear from you. Who do you think would be a great crossover athlete? To which sport would they cross over? And could they cross back over and be an effective ball player? Because we didn't talk about that, but I do think that is a factor that needs to be considered. Aroldis Chapman has proven he can do both, at least training. Like to see him get his bell rung a couple of times and then get back on the mound. We might have a problem. I don't know, but boxing is car accidents for fun. So that's pretty cool. Baseball family, we also want to know what you think about the lockout. Is it going to delay spring training? You can comment in the doobly-doo if you're watching on YouTube. You can also leave us a review or with comment. You can jump on baseballtogether.com, right, Brad? And leave us a voicemail, which is super cool. We love doing that. And don't forget to jump on the shop as well. 9plusus.com. It's NINEPLUSUS.com. 9plusus.com. You can get these sweet hats. I wore my perfect hat while I was away all the time and got a lot of compliments on it. It is our best-selling hat, and it's awesome. And then I Speak Fluent Baseball. It's one of our shirts.
Very good.
So, yeah.
Love it. But don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Like Brick said, let us know what you think. Comment on YouTube or drop us a message in the mailbag. That's where the link is on baseballtogether.com. I'm actually, after we're done here, I'm going to put a link to the voicemail on baseballtogether.com. Put it on the side there on the digit and the widgets, whatever they're called.
Great idea.
And and you can get that there. But also, baseball family, thanks again for joining us. We'll catch you next week.